They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can God give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Verse number 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Praise God. Note, if you will, please, they did not necessarily backslide. They certainly did not deny the existence of God. They simply questioned his ability by the question in their mind with two words. Can God? Think about that for a moment. With their noisy unbelief, they did not stop God. They did not change God. They did not make God any less. They only, in their own vices, brought about limitations in their own life. So simply, amen. These are not people that didn't know about God. They're not people that, certainly that had not seen any miraculous acts of God. They're not people that had no knowledge of God to say, well, I don't know if he can or not. They knew that he could do great and mighty things. Amen. I mean, they even said it. The historian recorded it. It was streams of rivers, brother. It wasn't when God, and I didn't read that, but if you would read in this chapter, you would read it that when God clave that stone and that rock was smitten, it wasn't just a trickle, Brother Arnold Snelson. It had to be rivers and streams. Not only to water those people in a very desert and arid land, but their herds, their cattle, their sheep, all of those animals had to be watered, and it took millions of gallons to water them. And they said, they acknowledged that God done that. But then, almost in the same sentence, Brother Glenn, they said, can God? Boy, that's where we are, isn't it? We just like them, we believe all the miracles of the Old Testament, don't we? And the New. I mean, ain't nobody in this room is going to sit here and say, Brother Darrell, I don't believe that. I believe they got it wrong. I believe somebody was, they were historically inaccurate. And nobody's going to say that. But you know what? Before I'm through preaching, you're going to think about something in your life that you need God to do for you. And mine and your enemy is going to be there, Brother Ken, to say, can God? I know that he did this, and I know he done all that, but can God? My title this morning is two words, God Unlimited. And if the Lord will help me and the Holy Ghost will stand by me and fill me this morning, I'd like to challenge not only my heart and my mind, I'd love to challenge you. Would you, while I'm preaching today, just take all the limits off of God? Amen. Come on now, just think about it a moment. I mean, everything that you need God to do in your life. Amen. And don't tempt God like they did in the wilderness and say, can God? Amen. Turn it around and say, God can. Hallelujah. Amen. God unlimited. The limits that we put on God certainly does not change who He is or what He can do. It only limits what He will do in our life. Amen. So why, amen, why not let Him be God unlimited? Amen. Why don't we just take all the bars and all the restrictions and all the doubts off of God and say, I'm going to let you be God in my life. I'm going to let you do what you want to do in my life. I'm going to take all the restrictions and doubts and unbelief out of my heart. And I'm going to put my life in your hand. Amen. And I'm not going to question God anymore. Amen. If you brought water out of the rock. Amen. If you let the feathered fowls fall in and supply the needs. Amen. I believe that you can do anything. There's not one thing that I'm facing. There's not one thing that you're facing that the Almighty God cannot take care of. Oh, Romans 3:3, one verse said, for what if some did not believe? Amen. And the apostle is speaking about this same setting and time that I read to you about in Psalm 78. It was the day of provocation when they provoked him in the wilderness. Amen. Why? What was the provocation? They were provoking God by their unbelief. We got to understand unbelief goes in the place with liars and those that work abominations. All of those things that are lined up in the book of Revelation. Unbelief. You say, well, my unbelief is a soft unbelief. It's not that I'm a total unbeliever, Brother Darrell. I just have a little bit of doubt here. Amen. I'm wanting us, and I'm preaching to me while I'm preaching to you. Amen. I want all of us to take all the limits off of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. The God of the Old Testament and the New. And say, whatever I have in my life that I need, I believe you're able to do it. Amen. But they, the apostle said, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Does it matter that there are atheists in the United States? Does their unbelief make God any less than who He is? Amen. The first two words of verse number 4 is God forbid. Oh, it doesn't matter how many atheists there are. It doesn't matter how many agnostics there are. It doesn't matter how many Muslims there are. It doesn't matter how many false religions there are. That does not change who God is or what He can do in your life. Can you say amen? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. We, through our manifold doubts and temptations, coupled with lack of faith, amen, put limits on what God can do or what He could do in our life. However, God remains unlimited. There's nothing that He can't do. There's not a problem He can't solve. There's not a sinner He can't save. Amen. There's not a nation on this earth that He can't bring revival to. Amen. But if we're not careful, we will sit in a spirit-filled church, amen, claiming the gifts and the power of the Holy Ghost and have needs in our life that are unmet because we simply say, can God? Can God? How are some ways that we limit God? I'll take a moment. you to think about it. How are some ways that we limit God? Amen. We can see from our text that we can limit Him with just two small words. Can God. I know you brought water. I know you brought manna in the wilderness. I know you protected us. I know our shoes didn't wear out and our clothes didn't wax old. And I know all of that. I understand that, God. I know that. I don't doubt, God, that you've done that. But this thing that I need in my life, I'm really trying to bring this down to a personal thing, because I want to challenge every one of us. I want to challenge your faith. But my need is different. Can God. Oh, woo, hallelujah. Can God. I wonder how many miracles those two little words have cost us. I wonder how many miracles those two little words have cost us. I wonder how much lack is in our life right now because of those two little words. Can God. Amen. We seem to have very little doubt that God would or could do some great miracles for someone else. Have no limitations on what I believe God can do in Brother Todd's life, his ministry, or what God can do for Brother Luke, what God can do for Brother Arnold, what God can do for Brother Roger Payton and his family and his ministry. Man, I can believe. But when it comes to my faith, oh God. When it comes to receiving for ourselves, it seems to get much more difficult and much easier to limit. I'm preaching this morning about God unlimited. Woo! Hallelujah! Amen. How are some ways the day that the angels came, and I don't know that they necessarily came to negotiate, but nevertheless, they did negotiate. Amen. Are y'all still here with Abraham? Amen. For Lot's rescue. And right in the midst of that, amen, will you spare the city for 50 righteous? Amen. All right, now for 40 righteous, will you spare it? Now for 30 righteous, now for 20, now for 10, now for 5. Amen. Right in the middle of that negotiation, those angels carried a promise or reaffirmed a promise to Abraham again. And they just brought it to pass right while they was there, Brother Leslie. Amen. And Sarah's inside the tent. She hears all this going on outside. Amen. And they say to the great patriarch of faith that y'all talked about today, amen, the time of life, there's going to be a baby in this tent. And all it was for Sarah was a little... She laughed. I'm afraid you're right, brother. I'm afraid you're right. I'm afraid it was a giggle of unbelief. And the angels knew everything. Say, how come you laughed? Yes, you did. And then those, brother, that live in the presence of God said to her, is there anything too hard for the Lord? You know why they could say that? Brother Roger, they say it from a different perspective. Amen. They are in the presence of God. They understand God. They know who God is. Amen. And they cannot understand the unbelief of the human race when they know so much about God and what He can do. And they're there with a promise. Amen. And somebody inside the tent, amen, is possibly giggling a laugh of unbelief. My God.
I'm trying to help somebody in here this morning. Amen. When I get through preaching, are we going to take all the limits off of God? Amen. Are we going to say whatever you want to do in my church, whatever you want to do in my family, whatever you want to do in my ministry, God, whatever you want to do, I'm taking all the limits off. I'm taking all the bars off, and I'm going to sell out. I'm going to surrender to you. I'm not going to laugh about anything you tell me. If it's you and I know it's you, I'm going to believe you. If the whole world stands up and laughs in my face, I'm going to believe that I have a God that is unshackled and unlimited. Somebody lift your hands and worship God right now in the house. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Do you have a God that's unlimited? Amen. We do have a God that's unlimited. It's we that are putting limits on God. It's we that are putting limits on ourselves. It's us that's putting limits on our own faith. We got a God that says I can do anything, and a God that says I will do anything, and a God that says if you'll be the man that will step up with faith, I will show you, amen, not only that I can, but I will. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Can God. Oh, help us, Jesus. I don't want to put any more limits on Him. We have a God that's unlimited. We have a God that's able to do anything. Amen. I'm going to show you just how easy it is. And I hope some of you are identifying. I hope you're thinking about some of the things you've said and some of the things that you've thought. Amen. We pray about it. But then when we talk to our neighbor about it or our husband or our wife, amen, do we speak doubt? Amen. Let me stop right now and tell you, words are powerful. Amen. And I think the devil learns a lot of doubt and disbelief from hearing us talk sometimes to other people. Amen. When we are speaking doubt and not believing God for what He is. Amen. Abraham called those things that be not as though they were. Amen. You know why he understood the power of words? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you'll speak the word of God, and you'll learn the word of God, and you'll use the word of God, and quit speaking doubt and unbelief, and quit talking about they'll probably never get saved, and no telling what's going to happen. And we'll probably never have revival. We'll probably never, we probably won't keep growing. We'll probably go the way of all the others. We'll probably, amen, don't talk that stuff. Amen, words are powerful. Amen, and the devil is not omnipresent and all-knowing. He learned some things from you. Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Praise God. Amen. That's what we've been praying for, ain't it? That's what we've been praying for. This city's been besieged. They're now selling dove's dung for a really high price. An old dead mule's head's bringing a premium price too. Amen. They've even resorted to cannibalism inside those walls, my friend. That's, amen. Anybody, is it that bad at your house yet? Amen. That's how bad it was inside Damascus. Praise God. Woo! Amen. But the man of God said, tomorrow, about this time, there's going to be meal, there's going to be flour, and it's going for market prices. Boy, anybody in the town can afford it. Oh yeah, come on now, y'all with me here? Oh yeah, here we go. I'm telling you, revival's promised. The man of God said it's going to happen. They've been besieged. They've been in a famine. It's bad. It can't get any worse. Amen. But then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if. Man. Two little letters. If. I wonder how many miracles that little word has cost us. I'm preaching about God unlimited. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. If the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, this is what the man of God said. Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. Sorry, my friend, that little word, if, is costing you revival. Yeah, I'm not trying to get too hard. Am I getting too rough? Come on, somebody judge my spirit here. If. Yeah, but I'm believing you and I'm needing to see something done, but if I just knew that somebody else had been through this same problem and same issue, and if I just knew that someone else had had a trial just like mine and they come through it and God moved for them, it don't matter if. I mean, if can limit God. It doesn't change who God is. God is unlimited. Y'all still see my title? Amen. God is unlimited. But we can limit Him in our life by laughing, by saying if, by saying it doesn't take very much, little bitty short words to bring doubt into our life and restrict God. It's not that God can't do it, but we restrict Him by our unbelief. Amen. Man, I wished I had a little more time to preach all this. Hallelujah. Four leprous men. I mean, let me tell you something right now. This is still part of the story. If they're selling dove's dung at the grocery store and dead mule heads out of the barn floor for people to take home and try to eat something, let me tell you something. Four leprous men outside the city, I'm telling you, they're not taking good food out to them. I can promise you that right now. Say, well, you're adding to the Bible. I just know that they, and I suppose if you have leprosy, you still get hungry just like anybody else does. Amen. There's four leprous men sitting outside. Amen. Remember the man of God said tomorrow about this time, there's going to be all kinds of food in this place. Amen. And here's four leprous men sitting outside. Amen. They said the city Syrians are camped over here. Amen. If we go there, they may kill us. If we try to run back to the city, we're hungry. How about you, Sam and Pete and Bill? Yeah, I am too. But if we go back to the city, there's nothing to eat there. They're starving. So they said, why sat we here until we die? Man, I need somebody right now to rally with me a little bit. Amen. And let faith rise up in your heart and say, if I sit here, next revival, I'm still going to be in the same place. And next week, my family's still going to be lost. And next week, my church is still going to be in regression. But I tell you what I think I'm going to do. I'm going to get up and I'm going to start moving. And I'm going to see if God will do something in my life. Hallelujah. Oh, church, we got a God that is unlimited. A God that has everything. A God that promises to hold nothing back. And we sat here till we die, my God. Why? 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 Those leprous men run to the camp of the Syrians. And God got inside their faith. Amen. That's what's good about when you start moving in the direction of faith. And God, amen, God just likes somebody that'll get up and do something. Amen. The Apostle Paul's on the Damascus Road. Amen. Going down to destroy the Christians. God looks down on him, strikes him down the middle of the road. Say, why are you doing that? He said, well, at least he's doing something. He's going somewhere. You might be surprised what God might do for you if you just got up and started going somewhere. Oh, woo, holy, holy, holy. Just go toward Him. Hallelujah. God got in it. The Syrians thought they heard a great band coming. They said, oh no, they've hired the Egyptians. I don't know, maybe a long list of folks they named off. Brother Galen, they left. They left their food. They left their cooking utensils. They left everything. Those leprous men walked around there, no doubt. Brother Justin ate all they wanted. They were full, and they said, we best not enjoy this and go back and tell them in the city what all we got going on. Man, I could preach right here for a while too. When you really have revival in your soul, amen, and these folks that just got saved around here, you know why they're the first ones to testify? You know why they're filled with joy? Amen, because they got something and they want to go tell somebody about it. Hallelujah. Let's quit holding it back. Amen. Not only is God unlimited, but He also has unlimited supplies and sources. Everybody that's backslid and away from God and don't have enough, they got back and got the attention of those inside the besieged wall, and they come out to the camp of the host of the Syrians. And sure enough, I mean, their horses were still tied up. Everything was there. They just brought everything back in. And all of that food was going for market prices right in the gates of Assyria, in the gates of Damascus. Y'all remember what happened to the man on whom the king leaned on? Brother Carlton, his doubt did not stop what God was going to. His little word, if, did not stop the people from being sustained inside the city. But his word, if, caused him to be trampled underfoot when so many hungry people were actually stampeding because there was food and they were hungry. Oh, hallelujah. Would somebody just worship him right now for a moment? Praise God. Let's worship him. Oh, if you have an unlimited God, give him some praise right now. Why don't we just give him an unlimited praise? Why don't we just shout out to him? Hallelujah. Woo! Holy, holy, holy. I'm kind of taking this in sections here, but I want us to receive it. We have a God that is unlimited, and he can do things in your life. They're unlimited. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. After some confusion, amen, Peter asked the question in the middle of the storm on a boat. They're seeing ghosts and spirits, all kinds of things happening out there in the dark. Amen. In the midst of that confusion, Peter says, Lord, this is our words. Lord, is that you? Lord, I'm kind of scared here. I'm kind of shaking. God's telling you to fast. God's telling you to go to the altar and pray. God's telling you get up and just move around, walk around the altar, maybe do something. God, Lord, hey, Lord. Is that you? Come on. You know I'm preaching to you now. Lord, is that you? Lord, if that's you, have them sing that chorus one more time, Lord. Yeah. And they might be up there saying, they're tired of hearing this song. I don't think I'm going to sing it through one more time. You're back there saying, Lord, if that's you, have them sing it one more time. They're up there in the battle themselves because they're in a spiritual warfare too. They're saying, Lord, I'll sing that verse one more time if somebody will raise their hand. Come on, man, I'm helping you now. If. That's the problem. Let's quit saying if. We have a God that's unlimited. Lord, if that's you, bid me come to you on the water. What's Peter doing? All of a sudden, he's trying to remove all the doubts. He's trying to remove all the limits. Everybody knows that a man can't walk on the water. Come on, church. You know, if we get out on the water, we're going to sink. And everybody's going to laugh at us. We're going to make a fool out of ourselves. But Peter takes off the limits. And he said, Lord, if that's you, I'd kind of like to try to do what you're doing. I'd kind of like to be like you, Lord. And if you're walking on the water, I just seen you feed 5,000. About 24 hours ago with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And if you can do that and you let me take up those baskets, I believe I can walk on the water just like you. He takes those limits off. The restrictions of the law of gravity that pulls anybody down below the surface of the water. I'm still not connecting with some folks here. But, amen. And besides all that, it's right in the middle of a storm. If I'm going to walk on water, I want to walk on water on a calm day. I don't want to have to deal with the winds getting me off balance. I can't do like you, brother. Brother Glenn, you and Brother Junior rode that crane all the way up to the top of that steel beam up here and walked. I mean, that, to me, that'd be about like walking on water. Yeah. But it's a little more difficult on a windy day, isn't it? You got to judge for the wind. Oh, God. Am I helping anybody in the house today? Yeah. He took the limits off. He says, Lord. Now you remember I talked to you about power of words a while ago? This is the power of words right here. One little word, Sister Nancy. Jesus didn't have time to go into a Bible discussion and great theology with Peter. We're in the middle of the storm. One little word. Come. Oh, somebody hear me in this house this morning. Move the ifs, move the cans, amen, the can gods and the ifs, amen, and let me hear you, Lord, say one little word into my spirit, amen. It's not another shop, it's not another class, amen, it's not another breakout I need, amen, it's not another conference I need. All I need, Lord, in my simple faith, is for you to speak into my life, amen, a word of faith, and I'll act on it, and I believe that you'll do something about it. Yeah. Jesus and Peter walked on the water. I'm getting close to finishing up. I lost track. I don't know what time I started, but I see that I have your attention, and I'm grateful. I really do. I appreciate it. So can I talk to you a little bit more? St. John chapter 11. Everybody knows it that reads the Bible. Amen. Praise God. The power of the moment of seeing the God that's unlimited. Mary and Martha has limits. It's Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They are limited inside the walls of time and resources and distance. Are y'all still here? All of those things are what we battle against. Time, Lazarus is sick. Time, Lord, if you'd have been here 4 days ago. You see that Brother Peyton, those 4 days was a limit in her mind on what Christ could do. Lord, 4 days ago. I know you could have done it 4 days ago, Lord. Oh, man, I wish I could help somebody right now. You're thinking about your lost loved ones. You're thinking about weaknesses in your life. And you're thinking, a year ago, Lord, you could have done something about that. Lord, if I'd have got a hold of you and I'd have prayed and fasted then, a year ago, and I could have got something done then we wouldn't be where we're at now. Come on, stay with me, church, a little bit longer here. Yeah. Time, limits, the wall. Put a limit on God, but time. Amen. And he's a little ways away, so there's some distance. Amen. And I find it intriguing that Mary's faith can work, Mary and Martha's both of them, their faith can work so good 4 days ago. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. But then Jesus says, I am the resurrection. And then all of a sudden her faith goes over here to the future. And her faith has no problem. Come on. I know I'm helping somebody here this morning if you'll listen to me. If you shut me out, I'm not going to be able to help you. If you'll listen, I can help you. Oh, yes, Lord, in the resurrection. Her faith works good in the future. Her faith works fine in the past. Man. But her limit is in the here and now. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, every one of us that are hearing me preach right now, every one of us are in that place of here and now. We cannot live in the past, neither can we live in the future. So if the devil battles us on here and now, tomorrow for you it'll be here and now. The next day it'll be here and now. And as long as he can keep you in that wall, in that limit of here and now, you will never ever get your miracle. God help me to preach in here today. Pray for me, church, that God will help us here. Amen. We can't live in with an unlimited God in the only space that we live in. We take the limits off of him in the past, and we take the limits off of him in the future. But what about the limits now?
Future faith and past faith are lazy faith. Those are the two faiths that never have to be exercised. Future faith and past faith are lazy faith. They are the two faiths that never have to be exercised.
So really, it's not faith. It's really not. The writer of Hebrews 11, chapter 1 said, now, faith. Oh man, I feel God. I can just feel something's going to happen in here. I feel it. I feel the air getting right. Amen. If somebody will reach out and get a hold of something. Amen. If you'll quit putting it off and you'll quit regretting about the past and quit putting it off to the future and right now come in this service on this snowy morning right here at Bethany and believe God now. Amen. Come on, believe God right now. Amen. Believe God for your healing right now. Believe God for salvation right now. Believe God can do something in your life right now and you will get a miracle because God is unlimited. Amen. Let me talk to you just a little bit more while you're listening so good. They walk to the cemetery. Go get Martha. Amen. Well, actually it was Martha that came out. They said, go get Mary, because Mary abode still in the house. Let's go out to the cemetery. Okay, and I'm going to talk to you some more because I know. I realize God's doing some great works in some people's life right now, and I'm grateful. And I'm probably going a little long now. They get to the cemetery, Brother Tim. And then the protest starts. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I wish you'd have got here sooner. But okay, Lord, in the resurrection, okay, I can believe that. But then when he challenges them, oh, I feel God right here, right now. I mean, it was one thing to head to the cemetery to weep some more about things that didn't happen. But I'm telling you, the protest began when Jesus said, take ye away the stone. I'm preaching to somebody right now. You have got it put away. You have got it covered up. And you put it in your tomb, in your graveyard for so long, you ain't never going back and touching that again. Because if you ever open that up again, it's going to be nothing but more heartbreak and more. It's going to happen all over again. And we ain't going there, preacher. We're not doing that. I'm telling you, that's when the protests begin. But I got to tell somebody here today, hey man, you're never going to be able to get your miracle from God until you are willing to let your past go into his hands. Amen. You got to take the limits off of your past. Amen. You got to put them in the hands of an unlimited God. Oh, God, I got a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of heartbreaks. There's a lot of stuff in there that stinks, God. I'd rather not mess with it. I'd rather not even talk about it. Amen. But Jesus is saying, I am unlimited. I have the ability to go into your past. Amen. He can go in your past and rearrange things in your life that happened in your past. Amen. That can only be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. There are people with scars. There are people with abuse. Amen. There are people that are living with things that are scars on their life. I'm not telling you, you have to tell me or anybody else, but you got to be willing to let the unlimited God go into your unlimited, amen, to the places you have blocked off, and let Him work inside of there. The Jesus Christ that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He inhabits eternity, that can be eternity past and eternity future. Amen. I know God can go in your mind and your heart and change things and fix things that you thought could never ever be changed. But you got to take the limit. The limits are the stone. Amen. Somebody lift your hands and worship. I'm almost done preaching. Hallelujah. Worship Him. Worship Him a moment. Worship Him. Ask God to give us a great altar service here today. Let God in. Let God in. Amen. Verse number 37. Some said that was standing around the tomb, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? They had some knowledge. They had some understanding. But they were putting a limit on what Christ could do behind the stone. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes because of our past, we have a tendency to limit God. It's entirely possible for us to limit God because of our past. As bad as it hurts, we must open up our past to a God that is unlimited. Oh, holy, 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 holy. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry I'm being a little long-winded today, but I feel like I can't leave this here. We should change the place of the verb. That little word can is a verb. We should change the placing of the verb from our text in Psalms. Can God. Instead of can God, it should be God can. Somebody say God can. Somebody say it again. God can. One more time. God can. Why? Because He's unlimited. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, somebody gets us a song. The widow Zarephath. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. That verse right there is usually where we go off of the tracks. That's where we get into, Brother Todd, and I know a while back. Listen, I need to, while I'm right here, when me and Brother Todd had that little back and forth, it was all in fun. I mean, there wasn't any animosity or anything, but we were both telling the truth. We were just at the same place at different times. And so the speaker that I was talking about was one that I heard, and we looked it all up and got it all straightened out. But I know we was in this one together. I do know this one. When Zig Ziglar was on the stage and his daughter was there, Zig Ziglar had already got in Alzheimer's, taken over, or what's that other diagnosis? Dementia, something. And, you know, 25, 30 years ago, Zig Ziglar was a great, great speaker, motivational speaker. I heard him speak years ago when I was a young man. My dad took me to hear him speak. Amen. But his daughter would keep him on track. And as long as they brought a chair there, brought him in, he's feeble. They set him down. She started talking to him. She'd keep him on track. He could do pretty good. Some of those stories and illustrations would come back to him. Man, it was something to see. But I remember him. He said there, that's where it was. He said, some people, their problem is they have stinking thinking. They need a checkup from the neck up. That's what he said. They have stinking thinking. They need a checkup from the neck up. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of scriptures I've heard preached wrong, brother. That's been stinking thinking. And sometimes we just need a checkup from the neck up. And I don't mean to tear up anybody's theology. Matter of fact, because I have preached this way too. I mean, I have. Because of my stinking thinking. I read it to you. Did y'all pay attention? I read it to you. The meal barrel wasted not. The cruse of oil didn't fail. Y'all know they're in a famine. I mean, they got it going on bad. Elisha heads over, finds this widow. She's out picking up sticks. He says, get me a drink of water. He gets her a drink. He said, that's easy. She got me a drink. I'll just tell her to make me a cake. Make me a cake. She said, this would be in my words, Brother Brad. Man, you don't understand, man. We've been in this famine for all these years. I've got enough meal in my barrel to make one more cake. And one more little bit of oil in the cruse. And I'm picking up sticks. You see me, man of God? I'm picking up sticks, and I'm going to go build a fire. I'm going to make a cake, and me and my son's going to eat it. And we're going to die just like everybody else. Yeah. Hey, she don't realize the unlimited God is showing up. Yeah. He says to her, make me a cake first. Oh, hallelujah. She made it and brought it to him. And because of her faith, Brother Galen, that barrel did not waste. That cruse of oil, somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It did not fail. It did not. Oh, hallelujah. And so, I read that verse to you, and that's where we usually go off the tracks. Because every day she goes back, and there's one more little scoop in the bottom of that barrel. Just like she had the day before, but praise God. And we still had revival on that, didn't we? Praise God, there's a God that didn't fail. Every day she goes back and there's enough for one more cake. And I don't know. I mean, that may be the way it was. The Bible does not say that, but that's our stinking thinking that made the Bible say that, and that ain't what it said. I might have to share the tithes with you tonight, Brother Dustin. I know this is your thought. Don't worry, Lacey, I'm not calling him to preach. But he said one morning in devotional, the Bible don't say there was one more scoop and one little bit left in the barrel. He said, for all we know, the barrel was full and she was scooping it off the top. Hallelujah. Woo! Holy, 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 holy. Oh. I'm telling you, if you're scooping off the top, you got something to help somebody else with. That's a problem with a lot of our little churches that are drying up and blowing away. We've scraped off the bottom of the barrel so long, and nobody wants to come in and eat off the bottom of the barrel. I know, Jonathan, yesterday you was making fun of me for being dignified and sophisticated, but if you'd have just seen the way I grew up under some of these hard slave drivers like Brother Dickey and Brother Dale Crawford, and I'm telling you, in the hay field and the swimming hole, and there was no mercy. Believe me, no mercy. You pulled up to the job site, the sympathy ended, and the work began. That's the way it was. And so when we moved to the farm, of course, my grandma had already taught me how to milk. She could only milk with one hand, you know. And Mom said she wasn't going to be like Granny Walsey, let the elder teach the younger. She said, I ain't learning to milk. She said, if I learn to milk, I'll be doing it too many times. There'll always be too many times when I can't. Amen. So anytime I hear anything about a barrel, it probably wasn't even anything like this. But Dad bought feed 50 pounds at a time. And our feed went in a 55-gallon drum, and we called it a barrel. So in my little mind, that's still what, you know. Now, her meal barrel probably wasn't that way. So I'm kind of giving you my illustration. When I'm 12 years old, I can't reach the bottom of the barrel with a scoop. Amen. The only way I can get in the bottom of the barrel is jump up on the barrel over in it sometimes, and I would nearly sometimes lose my balance and fall over in it head first. Nothing but my little feet sticking up trying to scoop. I didn't like scooping off the barrel, but the day Dad bought feed and we poured that 50 pounds in there, I could stand flat footed on the I liked it better when it was full. Oh, if I could get somebody. Somebody's, you're going to walk out of here and you're still not going to hear me. I'm trying to tell you about a God that is unlimited. We're the one that put limits on Him. We're the one that said she scooped off the bottom. We're the one that said she only had enough for another meal. It's sad but true. We live our spiritual life by our stinking thinking. Man, I need the church to get behind me right now. I need somebody to get on this platform and get ready to sing. But I want to tell you, we have a God that is unlimited. And if we'll take our limits off and take our veils off, man, and be willing to challenge our wrong thinking, I believe we still have a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Would you stand in the house and lift your hands right now? Ask God to give us a great altar service. Amen. Maybe somebody would like to take hold of your miracle. Maybe somebody would like to believe God. Maybe somebody would like to trust God right now. Holy, 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 holy. Amen. Go ahead. Your worship is precious to me. Amen. I love to hear your voices lifting your heart toward God. Amen. Come on, while they get ready to sing, let faith arise in your heart. Don't be afraid to open the door to the past. Don't be afraid to let the unlimited God come right in where you are. Don't be afraid to keep back those secrets. Amen. Open it up. Reveal it to Him. And if you will do that, He will bring healing to your scars. He'll bring healing to your past. He's the God that's unlimited. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a God that can do anything at any time for anybody. He's able to do it. If you'll take the limits off like Peter did, you can walk on the water. If you'll take the limits off like the widow of Zarephath did, you can have a full barrel and scoop off the top and meet your needs and your family's needs and the church's needs and the pastor's needs, amen, and the evangelist's needs and the missionary's needs, amen, and come back the next morning and it'll be right back just like it was. Oh my God, I could help somebody in here this morning if I could just get this across in a way all of us could receive it. We have a God that is unlimited. The only limits God can have is the ones we place on ourselves. Even on ourselves, we don't place them on Him. God doesn't work in anybody's box. God doesn't work in just only one person's fellowship. God doesn't only work in one denomination. I'm telling you, He's God that's busting out the seams everywhere you look. Amen. He's alive and well. Oh, hallelujah. These altars are open. If somebody, amen, maybe somebody would just like to come for special prayer. There'll be men of God that's praying up here. They'll be willing to lay hands on you. Amen. One more time while they sing, would you lift your hands? Worship, worship from your heart this morning. Your voice, your heart toward Him. Amen. Oh, come on down. Let's seek God here this morning.
God grounded Pharaoh's plan to cross upon dry land.
Oh, come on, there's room for more. Gather around these that are needing help. We've got a God that's able. We've got a God that can go above and beyond.